This is Radio Superior 1939, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1939. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear radio as it may have sounded in 1939. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is Station KUWS, the voice from the head of the lakes. It's 6 o'clock, May 22nd, 1939. Good Monday evening, friends. Stay tuned because we have live reports from Berlin and Warsaw as Italy and Germany sign the Pact of Steel. We'll also have sports with Rapid Rory Paulson. And I understand George G. Newton will be in with good deals on buying a summer cottage. And we'll dig into our record collection and bring you the best music of the 1930s. Here's KUWS newsman Lou Martin with the 6 o'clock Northern Brewery News. Northern Brewery has exciting news about renovating the complex to bring you a better pale beer. Northern Brewery at 8th and Catlin in Superior. Take it, partner.
Thanks, Jack. And good evening, all. Nazi Germany and Fascist Italy have signed a treaty that is their answer to the British-French treaty signed in March. Inked in Berlin today, the alliance divides Europe once again, even as violence erupts in Danzig in the Polish corridor. We have shortwave radio reports beginning with reporter Virgil Pinkley in Berlin.
This is Berlin calling your correspondent Virgil Pinkley in the capital of the Third Reich. A seven-point military treaty has been signed by the totalitarian states of Germany and Italy, making relations between Rome and Berlin a counterpoint to that of London and Paris. On hand to sign the pact in the new Reich Chancellery were Italian Foreign Minister Count Galeazzo Ciano and Nazi Foreign Minister Joachim von Ribbentrop, while German Führer Adolf Hitler looked on. As von Ribbentrop would tell the German people later in a radio address, "This is our determined answer to British and French encirclement policy." In fact, on March 31st, British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain and French leader Edouard Daladier announced their promise of mutual military aid to Poland in an attempt to contain Hitler. Poland is the point of Herr Hitler's attentions these days, demanding that it return the Polish corridor and its access to the ocean port of Danzig. Essentially, today's treaty promises that either Germany or Italy will come to the military aid of the other in this Axis partnership. Reporting from Berlin, this is United Foreign Correspondent Virgil Pinkley calling Poland to come in Wes Gallagher in Warsaw.
This is Warsaw, Warsaw, Poland. Wes Gallagher, your correspondent. Poland is seeking to gain control over Danzig to prevent a German takeover of the free city. Polish newspaper Gazeta Polska is reporting Germany is violating international law, and they will ask the League of Nations to hand Danzig over to Poland. Danzig was taken from Germany in the Treaty of Versailles and made a free city under the jurisdiction of the League of Nations. The League of Nations is completely inactive, however, and Nazi officials have taken over the governing power of Danzig. Danzig remains a vital port to the Baltic for Poland. The German Führer Adolf Hitler is demanding that Danzig be restored to the Third Reich. Reporting from Warsaw, Poland, this is Wes Gallagher.
Angry anti-Polish demonstrations in the Polish corridor are reported today after a Danzig German citizen was killed by a Polish chauffeur. A window of customs stations on the East Prussian frontier was smashed by Nazi stormtroopers. Police intervened. No one was injured. Former President Herbert Hoover is blaming the Depression on President Roosevelt. Hoover says it's time to kill the New Deal after 6 years. He says in 1929, the United States plunged into a Great Depression, which was worldwide. Mr. Hoover says the country was on its way to recovery in 1932 when FDR defeated Hoover in his bid for a second term. Mr. Hoover told Republican editors in Warsaw, Indiana, that he will not be a candidate for president on next year's Republican ticket. King George and Queen Elizabeth continue their tour of Canada, traveling to Toronto today, in what the King and Queen say is the highlight of their trip. They met the Dionne quintuplets. The four-year-olds each got a kiss on the cheek from the Queen. Northern Brewery News Time is 6:06. Jack McKenna has some important news from our sponsor.
Indeed I have, Lou. And you might be interested in this because it's about Northern Pale Beer in Superior. Northern Brewing Company, Superior, Wisconsin, I say. Now, they've been doing some grand renovations at the brewery. For example, only union labor is used at the Northern Brewery and in every stage of producing this fine Superior beer. Nice thing to remember. At the association meeting, it was pointed out that these fine new machines were not a labor-saving device, but a step toward perfection. Good news. But, of course, that's always been good news at Northern Pale Beer. Northern Pale Beer is truly a local product, for not only is it manufactured here in Superior, but the Northern Brewery is owned and operated by local people, using only the best ingredients and pure Lake Superior water. So next time you're thirsty, order a Northern Pale Beer from Superior.
Duluth is apparently taking Superior out of the picture when it comes to building a high bridge connecting the two cities. Duluth Mayor C.R. Burkholt met in Washington today with U.S. Senator Shipstead and Congressman Pittenger, both of Minnesota. A bridge bill has been introduced in both the Senate and the House that would buy the interstate and Arrowhead bridges, demolish the interstate bridge, and allow Duluth to pay for a new bridge by collecting tolls. Total cost is expected to be $2.5 million. Criticism by Governor Julius Heil that the University of Wisconsin professors are loafers and that the university is ambitious to become the largest in the country was answered today in Madison. Our Capitol reporter, John Powell, has the story.
Although he didn't mention Governor Heil's remarks, UW President Clarence Dykstra says the university has a history of criticism by governors. He told the annual parent-student banquet that some politicians have even said the UW should be abolished. President Dykstra says the university has been called godless, radical, red, and other times reactionary. In 1915, critics launched an investigation into the university, calling teachers loafers and students lawless and unprincipled. The investigation concluded by praising students and professors. President Dykstra quoted an 1894 Regents decision encouraging academic freedom, when the late Professor Sterling said, "The university is for all time." He also quoted former President Van Hise, who said, "A university under a democracy should not be of lower grade than that of a monarchy." Dykstra finished by telling the students and parents that no adversity kills a firmly rooted university. Those who are in charge come and go. They live out their little hour contributing as best they can. That is opportunity enough for any faculty or any administration. In Madison, this is your correspondent, John Powell, speaking.
A slight gain in manufacturing jobs was recorded last month in Wisconsin. The State Industrial Commission reports that factory workers averaged $25.61 a week in March. The Tug Butterfield, reported missing since it left Ashland last Friday, has turned up at the Pigeon River in Minnesota. Concern rose for the Butterfield's crew of 20 when a large storm swept over the Apostle Islands. The Douglas County Board will vote on whether or not to ask the state legislature to allow the town of Brule to split into two towns, even as most citizens of Brule wanted to stay together. Petition signed by 315 of the town's 374 voters are against the split. Town Chairman Milford Ulvan says the split would cost citizens more and be a, quote now, a Hitler act. Senator Philip Nelson of Maple requested the action. The townships would be called Brule and the new town would be called Wayno. Two bands and a beautiful Indian princess from Hayward will greet the Crown Prince and Princess of Norway in Superior next month. KUWS newsman Mike Simonson has that story.
Lou Hayward Chamber of Commerce President A.S. Wise and Cully Johnson will send the only Indian band to play for the royalty when they visit Superior. This 25-piece Chippewa band is led by Charlie Coons and Princess Denomi. The Indian royalty will confer the title of Princess Nemadji on Princess Martha and give a beaded headdress and moccasins to Crown Prince Olav. Hayward High School's 65-piece band, led by Obad Benson, will also make the trip here for the June 16th parade, celebrating Superior's 50th birthday. Ralph Oyez and George Lee of the Belknap Civic Club made the arrangements. It should be a big day for all of Superior, Lou.
Well, thanks, Mike. We're told now that Governor Heil will also come up for the celebration. And finally, Jack and good listeners, the lone survivor of Superior Boys in Blue of the Grand Army of the Republic would lead next week's Memorial Day parade. Colonel E.L. Hooker recently moved to Virginia, Minnesota, to live with one of his children. But the 95-year-old Civil War veteran will travel to Superior for the Memorial Day rites. Colonel Hooker will lay a wreath at the Greenwood Cemetery Soldiers' Circle in honor of the unknown soldiers. Then he will ride in a parade down Tower Avenue. There is one other survivor of the area's Alonzo Palmer Post for Civil War veterans. He is 99-year-old E.A. Ross of Iron River, but Mr. Ross won't be able to make the observances. Alonzo Palmer Post Secretary Mrs. E.A. Huell says the post once numbered 150 members of the Grand Army of the Republic.
I remember when we covered the Memorial Day goings-on in 1930, and there were about 8 Civil War vets still able to turn out.
Colonel Hooker was born in 1844, Mr. Ross in 1840. These guys not only remember President Lincoln, but they remember President Zachary Taylor and Franklin Pierce.
They were presidents of the United States?
In 1848 and 1852.
You know, sometimes I wonder how old you really are, Lou.
Sometimes I wonder how young you really are.
What was President Lincoln really like, anyway?
I can honestly say that I did not vote for him.
Well, of course, you'd be a Stephen Douglas man. Thanks, Lou Martin, the oldest newsman in America. The H.V. Kaltenborn of Superior. Let's take a gander at our weather, shall we, good listeners, for this Monday, May the 22nd. 1939, skies will be fair tonight and tomorrow, with a gentle wind out of the northeast off Lake Superior, keeping things cool. The high tomorrow will be 56, with a low tonight of 32. Hey, let's get to the big band music of the 30s. Here's a good one by Benny Goodman and his orchestra. This is Running Wild on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. getting things swinging. That's Benny Goodman and his orchestra running wild on station KUWS. Hey, folks, I got some words for you from Superior Water, Light, and Power Company. By selecting something electrical, you help fulfill the most cherished dream a girl can live on when she chooses to live electrically. Beautiful, practical, and enduring, these exquisite modern electrical appliances are always thrillingly received because they are so desirable and contribute so greatly to better living. Ah, yes, lovely gifts for lovely brides. Electrical, of course, from Superior Water, Light, and Power Company. Do it the next time you want to send that gift. On with the music, folks. Let's enjoy something from 1931 by Gus Arnheim and his orchestra, live at the Coconut Grove. This is Nobody's Sweetheart, with vocals by Harry Barris and the Three Ambassadors on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
She's nobody's sweetheart.
Don't baby you somehow.
Oh, don't baby me.
Fancy
at the hose,
silk gown. She'd be out of place
in her own hometown.
Walk down the avenue.
And when you walk down the deep levity,
I just can't believe it.
I like that out of the way that I don't rip.
Painted lips, painted eyes.
And what she doing?
We're a bird of paradise.
Hit it, boys.
Oh, boy, I can't do it, but they sure can. For your enjoyment, good listeners, live from the Coconut Grove in 1931. That's Gus Arnheim and his orchestra and Nobody's Sweetheart with Harry Barris and the Three Ambassadors on station KUWS.
For your real estate enjoyment, here's George G. Newton of the George G. Newton Realty.
The one and only. Best deals around. And you know what?
What?
The big craze right now is a summer cottage. Summer cottages. It's a perfect opportunity for anyone to get a place on the lake. The economy's a little slow, so prices are low. But things are picking up. A few more jobs out there. So more people can afford to get a lake place.
Hey, who is this guy? And what does he do with George C. Newton?
You look and sound like George Newton, but you can't be him.
I am touched by your concern and sarcasm.
It's just that we're not used to you getting to the point. You usually start talking about politics or something in the news.
As a matter of fact, you know. I mean, can you believe that Hitler again?
Way to go, Jack.
Yeah, boys.
He was doing just fine till you chimed in.
It's a good thing you should let this old man say his piece. It's respectful.
Yeah, but you sell real estate.
Let him go, Jack.
I mean, I don't know how Europe does it. They got themselves in a real pickle. They do. I mean, I don't see any way out of a war now. Can you imagine so many world leaders doing so many dumb things?
Oh, yeah.
Some seem to make a habit of it.
These treaties promise that they're going to go to war. Britain and France and Poland on the one side, Germany and Italy on the other. I mean, who knows who else is going to join them?
Some people think that these military treaties will keep one side from attacking the other, knowing that others will declare war against them.
Well, maybe. Maybe, but I just know Hitler's rattling his saber over Danzig and Poland. He's broken every promise he's made so far. He's got his Nazi hacks in Danzig already. It's Austria all over again, if you ask me. I mean, hey, I don't blame England and France for tying the knot against Hitler, but it's just too late. They should have done that last October instead of signing that sellout of Czechoslovakia.
Let me just ask, George, if you have a good deal for a summer cabin. I think Lou has been looking for a nice spot around Solon Springs.
What? Lou? Lou! Lou, why didn't you say so? I mean, I got just the right place for a guy like you. Right there around Solon Springs and Gordon.
Thanks, Jack.
He's talking real estate, isn't he?
There's this beautiful Haley cottage on the lake, close to the village. It's got a large lot, a garage, shed, and an outhouse.
I wonder if it's a two- or three-holer.
Why would I want more than one hole in my outhouse?
Different sizes for different bottoms, you might say.
Enough about the outhouse already. This cabin's got 8 rooms. It's got a large fireplace. It costs $12,000.
Twelve?
Oh! Please, George. That's a shock to most people. But to a guy like Lou, who has to use a tire iron to get his coin purse open.
Twelve thousand?
Is he going to be okay? I mean, he's kind of blue, you know.
Goes nice with the red hair, though, doesn't it?
Hey, listen. There's more to this Haley cottage. Save the best, Lou's, Jack and Lou. I cost the Haleys $12,000. They're going to let it go for less than half of that. $5,500. This Lake Valhalla is all yours.
Maybe you should go on, George, until Lou gets his voice back.
Well, his face matches his hair now.
The only time I worry is when his eyes match his hair. Go ahead, George.
Can do. That's why they call George G. Newton the can-do guy. Got another great summer place on Dowling Lake, the Norman Smith Cottage. 95 feet of lakefront, good beach, good cottage, 4 rooms and a porch, furnishings included. Hey, a fireplace. Let's see what color this turns Lou's face. You're going to like this, folks. You're going to like this, Lou. Right on Dowling Lake, $1,800. That's it. How about this one on Lake Minnising? Right on the lake again. Boland College. 3 rooms and a porch. Nice and rustic. It's yours for just $1,200. Hey, if you want a place in the country, I got 20 acres. 9 miles from East End. A house, small barn, and a chicken coop. They even have a windmill. All of that for only $1,200. You know, you don't see many windmills around today. Place could become a landmark someday.
You know, Jack, we might be able to swing that Dowling Lake place. Get Ray and Harriet to go with us. It's got 4 rooms.
We can arrange easy payments.
Well, I don't know. Real estate hasn't been a very good investment since the stock market crashed 10 years ago.
I have a feeling this one's going to go up in value.
Thanks, George. We'll think on it.
Hey, George G. Newton isn't one to pressure people into buying something. Come and see me. I'm in the Telegram building. Bye-bye.
I wonder if he spells that B-U-Y. On with the music, friends. All God's Chillin' Got Rhythm with Jimmy Dorsey and his orchestra on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. fine sounds of Jimmy Dorsey and his orchestra with vocals by Vicki Joyce, and All God's Chillin' Got Rhythm on station KUWS. Hiya, Ray.
Well, hey, Jake. Yeah, you know, Lou's never quite on, but Lou's not too far off when he says we could go in on that cabin on Dowling Lake. Between the four of us, it wouldn't be too bad. I wouldn't mind having a place to drop a line and do some fishing.
And swimming. I like swimming. And Harriet and Lewis could do some romantic canoeing.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm listening.
Lewis,
I'm listening in the newsroom.
The canoe.
Okay, Lou. Time for a look at the sporting world with our own sport rapid Ray. Somebody hit me in the back. Paulson.
Hello, fans of the sporting world. 16 drivers qualified at Sunday's trials for next weekend's 500-mile race at the Indianapolis Speedway. But rain hindered the rest of the field. Only Babe Stapp was able to make a complete run, qualifying at an even 125 miles per hour. Kelly Petillo, Rex Hayes, Bob Swanson, and Ira Hall are ready to resume trials on Wednesday. Their ranks are thinning, but several old-timers took to the mound yesterday, and they still had enough in them to win. Lefty Grove, Carl Hubble, Schoolboy Rowe, and Dizzy Dean all chalked up victories for their squads over the weekend. You know, old Diz is only 28 years old, but he's been around since he was 20. He shut out the Boston Bees 4-0 for the Chicago Cubbies. The Northern League Superior Blues continue their road trip as player-manager George Treadwell guides his team against the Grand Forks Chiefs today. Our Blues are 10-5 and just half a game from the first-place Winnipeg Maroons. The Dukes of Duluth just left Grand Forks, beating the Chiefs yesterday 11-5. And finally, the Superior Bushwhackers League gets underway this week. 170 golfers make up 34 teams. Bushwhackers League President Dr. Elmer Myers says Superior teams will also play matches against Duluth, Spooner, and Ashland. Okay, this is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
Indeed they do. Think good thoughts about a cabin, though. We'll have to work on Harriet next. That won't be easy. On with the good time sounds of the 1930s. From the 1935 movie Top Hat, here's the RKO Studio Orchestra with Fred Astaire and Cheek to Cheek on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak. And I seem to find the happiness I see when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek. Heaven, I'm in heaven, and the cares that hung around me through the week seem to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak. When we're out together dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to climb a mountain and to reach the highest peak. But it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to go out fishing in a river or a creek. But I don't enjoy it half as much. Dancing cheek to cheek. Dance with me. I want my arm about you. The charm about you will carry me through to heaven. I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak. And I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek.
memorable sounds of Fred Astaire with the RKO Studio Orchestra and Cheek to Cheek on station KUWS. How could anybody ever forget old Fred? So, guys, how do we get Harriet in on this? I mean, we like fishing and swimming and campfires.
Perfect. Real good incentive for Harriet. Fish guts. You guys in bathing trunks and smoky fires among the mosquitoes.
Hey. What's wrong with us in swimming trunks?
It means you're not covered up by clothing.
And some women say we're good looking.
Mothers don't count.
You know, Lou's right, almost. We need to figure a way to get Harriet interested, but not in him.
You know, the canoe thing that you guys were kidding about isn't a bad idea. Things like walk in the woods and stuff appeal to women like Harriet.
Well, hey, we could bury the fish guts and make a flower garden out of it.
Now that's using your head, Ray. Oh, boy, certainly glad we called you in on this. Stand by for Terry and the Pirates, followed by Radio Theater, Guy Lombardo, Eddie Cantor, and Amos and Andy. What a night to gather around the old Philco. And remember, at 8:30, President Roosevelt will have a fireside chat, followed by that new question and answer show, Dr. IQ. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, and we're not fishing. For Lou Martin and Ray Paulson, then, this is Jack McKenna speaking, and good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1939, a weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Al Katz, Don Mason. All events reported on Radio Superior 1939 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.